Today's special episode is brought to you by Starting Points, Operationally Curious Questions. Begin pre-event learning with our best-selling Operationally Curious Conversation Starters. Download the app at startingpoints.app or the App Store, and purchase card decks at www.startingpointcards.com.
It's another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And today I want to talk about this, the pain of staying the same versus the pain of change, something we know all about. So let's just jump right on in. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello, howdy, hi, everybody. Sam Goodman. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. If this is your first episode, hi, my name's Sam, and welcome. We talk about all kinds of stuff here, most of that with a bit of a human and organizational performance safety differently kind of bend to it. Yeah, but we talk about a little bit of everything from safety and the safety of work to maybe hop in a broader sense, and because we know, sorry, side rant right out of the gate, hop's just not a safety thing, right? Yeah, we've all got that one, right? Okay, right back, locking back in. Yeah. So welcome if this is your first episode. We've had a lot of newcomers here lately, and I don't remember, honestly, if I stopped and said, hey, welcome, and thanks for being here. And to all of my friends out there, you feel more like family in a lot of ways. Many of you I've got to meet over the past couple years in my adventures and or misadventures as I travel around doing this whole hop practitioner thing, speaking at conferences and coming to your organizations. So many of you have been here since day one, and welcome back. Yeah, thanks for being here. Right at the beginning, I'm going to just let you know, I've got my cold brew. It's right here. I'm overdoing the coffee today. I've been trying to put some guardrails around that, and it's worked pretty good. Yeah, because I'm putting some guardrails around it because I've really been struggling with sleep lately, and I know consuming gallons of coffee every day is probably not helping in my efforts of trying to be a better sleeper. So I've cut it back a bit, but today's been wild. This week's been wild. I've just been wild, running around like crazy, busy, a bit of travel, virtual stuff, this, that, and the other. And then, as many of you might have seen, some of my new passion side project of making all these little funny videos and just stuff. Yeah, that's kind of, I guess, not a new passion because we've been making stuff and getting it out there since, I guess, day one, from guides and little videos. And I think the funny stuff, the funnier stuff, maybe the more produced, funnier stuff is pretty new. Yeah, over the past, 4 or 5 months, something like that. And it's out there. If you like it, love it, gotta have it. You can find it on LinkedIn. Yeah, LinkedIn. If you're interested in more of the behind the scenes, maybe the director's cut, I would encourage you to go follow along on Instagram. Yeah, Instagram, because it's different. It's different on Instagram. Instagram is not LinkedIn. And I'm pretty raw and real and some would argue abrasive, maybe on LinkedIn. I don't think so. Just planting seeds, just having fun. I guess I put a lot of stuff on LinkedIn that you shouldn't put on LinkedIn. This is a professional social network. And because it's a professional social network, there are very strict rules that you must follow and adhere to at all times. And if you do not have a tie in your picture. Yeah. I take the LinkedIn rules and I just say, F them. Yeah, so I take some of the stuff, I try at least to be just full send, right? Like, whatever. Yeah, so a lot of the videos, all those things are exactly the same. But over on Insta, you will get more of like, hey, here's what's going on. Hey, check this out. Hey, you know, that kind of stuff. I made a joke on Instagram just the other day that on a little behind the scenes picture of a video that I have yet to release. Yeah, so it's not out there yet. I can't tell you what it is. I got to leave a little bit of suspense, yeah, to build there. But I put the caption on that of like, hey, you know, I was sitting here thinking about this while I'm shooting this video. I think all of these videos is just an effort of me trying to see how long it takes for me to get kicked off of LinkedIn. So if you're into that kind of stuff in memes, a lot of memes, Instagram is a great place to go follow. It's just at the Hop Nerd. If you have one, it's there. And YouTube, obviously. Make sure you go subscribe to the YouTube channel. A lot of this stuff, these little shorts and clips, I have to trim them down and I have to reframe them like different sizes for the short stuff that's over on Instagram, the vertical video, and LinkedIn seems to want to gobble up all the square videos. And I like to really make them into that full, at least 1080p, 4K, full size, right? TV size stuff. And I upload all of that over on YouTube. Yeah, on YouTube. And we've been pulling together a bit of a show out of all those clips and dumping those kind of multiple clips per episode over there. So if you're like me and you watch a bunch of YouTube on your TV because you get burned out on Netflix and everything else, and a lot of the self-produced stuff that you find on YouTube is just way better than what you find on Netflix, and or if you're like me and you found yourself at the very, very bottom of the Discovery Plus app, where now you find yourself watching like Smithsonian documentaries, yeah, like really, or really old crime shows, like really, really old ones. Yeah, it's there. Go check it out. Speaking of which, if you're into that kind of like vlogging stuff, yeah, I'm vlogging, and it's weird for me. I took it up as a challenge, and the main couple reasons why I took up this challenge, number one is that I'm trying to be less fat. Yeah, and I think putting it on camera makes it a bit easier for me to be more accountable to myself, and I'm forced to look at myself that much more in a camera from angles that I don't normally look at myself from. Yeah, so it's helpful for that. Another kind of equal part of that is that I'm trying to get better at video stuff. I've just kind of half-assed winged it and cobbled stuff together. And it's good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a run and gun kind of person. Like, idea comes up, let's go make it. But to learn more about how to make videos, I have to make more videos. And it's not even the making the videos part, it's the shooting the videos part. So it's getting me down in the trenches, actually learning manual mode and stuff on my cameras and all that different stuff instead of just throwing it over to auto and then hoping to God that AI eventually comes along and fixes my problems for me. So it's there. There's some vlogs. But the challenge was to do it for 100 days. At the time of recording this, I think I'm on day 9 or something. So again, it's not a have to. If you're not into that kind of stuff or you don't want to see more about kind of behind the scenes kind of things that just life and business and figuring everything out, that's kind of all it is. So it's there if you want to check it out. But there's a ton of other stuff, just directly Hop-related stuff, old videos, new videos, quick snippets, stuff you can use. It's all there. It's all there. So YouTube is a great resource for you. Now, the last thing that I've got to say before we jump into today's main chunk of the episode is I'm trying today. And what I mean by that, I'm amped up on caffeine. I'm feeling good. It's not that. It's I got some new headphones, and they're screwing with me. I keep having to like mess with them. Yeah. So since the very beginning, I've been using basically the exact same pair of headphones. I've had a couple go out, so I can't say that it is the exact pair. But I bought this kind of cheaper Tascam over-the-ear muff style headphones, and I bought several pairs because people come in sometimes and I needed extras, and a couple of those have died and I'm down to one, and I don't know if it's the original pair I've always worn, but I've worn them. It's the exact same headphones and I've worn them for years. Just the other day I bought some new ones, and I won't call them fancy. They are Shure headphones, so a bit of a fancier brand. They were not super cheap, but they were not super expensive. I think I spent like $70 on them or something like that. I think $70 is warranted after 6 or 7 years of using the same headphones. But the main reason why I bought them is because they're earbud-style studio headphones. And I cannot get them to fit in my ears right to make sound right. I was hoping for, like, AirPod something. Like, oh, these are going to be... And I'm just not quite getting them there. And I'm not going to stop and go try to resize them in the middle of this. So I just tell you that if I seem like I kind of wander off for a second, it's because I've got my fingers in my ears. Now, I need to tell you the other part of that. The main reason why I bought these headphones. I didn't need an upgrade. I like the other ones. They work just fine. But if you followed along for more than a minute, you know that my New Year's resolutions this year were wacky and weird. And one of those was to wear funny outfits. Yeah, just to rock it. I don't know why. I just thought it would be fun. So part of funny outfits includes funny hats. And I ran into this problem the other day when I had on my good buddy Steve Harvey. And you can't really rock like a cowboy hat or anything that has a brim on it if you're wearing over-the-ear headphones. It gets weird. So I'm like, man, I really want to start just showing up because I'm going to be on some other podcasts coming up pretty soon, several of those. And if you're listening, friends that have invited me onto your podcast, I'm sorry. I want you to close your ears right now. Just fast forward. Just hit like the 10-second, 20-second button. Just hit it twice. But I want to start showing up to these other podcasts just in wacky outfits. Yeah, just wacky outfits. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to show up as. As you can tell, if you've been watching the videos, I've been making all kinds of wacky outfits or picking up some wacky outfits. God knows. I just think it's fun, and I think it'll be hilarious to see those little snipped clippets of me dressed as a banana. I don't know. Who knows? We got to keep it fun, right? So I bought these headphones with all of that in mind, and I'm hoping I can figure them out. That's a really long way of me saying that if I'm kind of distracted more than usual, I guess, it's that. I've got my fingers in my ears like I do right now, fiddling with my ears. It's kind of one of those rub your belly, pat your head, or is it pat your head, rub your belly, or rub your head, pat your... it's one of those situations where I'm trying to talk and drink cold brew and mess with my left ear and then mess with my right ear and then like shush the dogs. And yeah, so and with all that out of the way, let's just jump right on into today's episode. Man, it is a story as old as time. And I was reflecting on this the other day as I walked on the treadmill. I've been trying to do this 10 before 10 or 10 by 10 challenge, whatever you want to call it, as part of the vlog and just trying to get healthier and just stuff like that. And basically what it is I'm trying to get 10,000 steps before 10 a.m. You'd be surprised how freaking hard it is to get steps in doing what I do. And actually, you probably do understand. You probably live a pretty similar life. You're in planes, trains, and automobiles just like I am. You're stuck behind the computer when you're not just like I am. On presenting days, I'm walking in circles when I'm doing keynotes and workshops. Workshops, I get pretty good amount of steps in because I'm running around the room. But on average, I just not getting a whole bunch of steps because I was really shocked when I really started paying attention to it. When you go to the airport and you're doing that full day of travel type of thing that we all live through pretty frequently, I don't know, I'm get to the end of the day, I'm like, oh man, I bet I got like 40 billion steps. And it's like, you have 3,200 steps. Yeah, it feels like a lot of work, but it's actually not a lot of movement because you just walk a really short, chaotic burst and then sit for an extended period of time, and then walk a very short, chaotic burst, and then sit for a little bit. So I've been walking on the treadmill a bunch. In the mornings, it's like the first thing that I do. And in the evenings, it's one of the last things that I do before I go into full-on chillax mode. I was walking on the treadmill the other day, and I was reflecting on a quote that I heard years back, and I don't even know who to attribute it to. I heard it on a YouTube channel, and they basically said the exact same thing that I said. I don't know who originally said this. And I'm sure if you Google it, it's probably wrong. So, quote, police, don't come after me because I'm not even going to attribute it to anybody. How about that? But it's this quote about the pain of change must be less than the pain of staying the same. And I'd heard that years and years back, back when I was way less fat and getting real healthy. I heard that quote, and it was one of those things that motivated me way back when. And I've always thought about that quote, especially when it comes to stuff that we do at work. And I was thinking about that quote when I was on the treadmill of going, I think finally, at least with this kind of weird health journey that I'm sorry if it's TMI I'm giving you on that, but it's got to outweigh it, right? Like, I can't stay the same because it's too painful to stay the same. I like breathing, and I like my knees not hurting, and I like my back hurting at least less, and all of those things that come along with maybe that journey. But I was thinking about it as it relates to work, and it is a story as old as time. I don't know how many times this has happened to you. I've been around for it maybe more than I would like to have been around for in different organizations, and that tells me that you probably have too. But it's one of those things where, oh, shit, Bob's dead. Oh, crap, Jane cut off her fingers. Oh, man, can you believe that we blew that thing up? We burned that thing down. Oh, no, something happened and we injured a member of the public. And on and on and on and on. Insert your particular work world here. You know the story. And then we go, all right, now it's too painful. Now we need to do something about it. Now we need to change. Now we need to improve things. Now we need to fix that thing that's been broken for 40 years that people have been telling us for 40 years that thing's broken. And we've just said, no budget, no time. Now it's painful enough now that somebody's dead or multiple people are dead or someone or multiple someones are significantly injured, maimed, let's call it what it is, industrially maimed. Now it's painful enough that we're willing to do something about it. It's painful enough that we're willing to change, to maybe rethink some of our approach, to maybe rethink some of where we've been. And I bring this up because I find myself in organizations pretty frequently after the fact. Yeah, when the pain is now really, really, really painful, when we've gone from weak signals to loud signals, and folks that I spend time with saying, we've been trying to get this moving for years. We've been having these conversations for years. And here we are. I'm thankful that we're finally doing something about this. But we could have done this 10 years ago. We could have done this before Bob got killed. And I can't say for certain, that Bob wouldn't have died or someone wouldn't have died somewhere along the way. Or things wouldn't have got weird or bad somewhere along the way. I can't predict that. I can't see into things that may or may not have happened with this change. But I can tell you that we would have had a better chance. We would have at least had a better chance. I wish we would have done this before this happened, before Jane lost her fingers, before we blew up that side of the plant, before we burned everything down. We finally have gotten to the point where that pain has changed, right? The pain of staying the same is now far worse than just changing. Now, I also feel the need to maybe insert here that I'm not selling change as a fairy tale. Like, this is all fun and great. It's not. You know this. You've been there. It's not. Change is pain. Of course it's pain. Doing things differently, it can be painful because we're having to really stop, reflect on all the stuff that we've done with really, really good intentions and things that at least have probably worked for us to an extent. we're having to drag all of our dirty laundry up on the table and sort through it. Sniff it. Yeah, we're sniffing it. Dirty. Yeah, that's dirty. Clean. Oh, this is clean. Yeah, okay. This is great. Yeah, we're really sorting out trash from treasure. Yeah, treasure that we've convinced ourselves is trash and kicked to the side. Trash that we've painted gold and pretended is treasure. Yeah, you know the stuff that I'm talking about. And it's all a bit different for each of our organizations. Of course, that's a painful exercise to put everything on the table, to say that nothing in our organization, the way that we've done things, the way that we do it now, none of that stuff is sacred. It's just stuff that's been built by human hands. Let's call it what it is. It's just stuff that we've either built or people long before us have built and we've inherited and we've just rocked it. Yeah, whether it's been good or bad or somewhere in between. It's just stuff. It's just stuff that we've made with these little spirit fingers, our little human hands, things that we can change, alter, delete, things that we can modify, things that we can scrap, grenade, rebuild, redo, keep as is. It's pain. Yeah, so of course that has to balance a bit, right? Where we're going, do we just stay the same and ride this thing out? You know, I'm retiring in a year. I don't really want to think about that thing. I'll kick that can down the road for the next person to maybe think about and deal with. It's two painful things, and we're really negotiating between okay, comfort, stick with this, comfortable, or I put my toe into the uncertain and the painful uncertain of change. We see this all the time, right, where we cling to things that we have always done, even when everyone in our work worlds are telling us that thing sucks. Yeah. And we just say, no, it doesn't. Or we say, yeah, it sucks, but that's how we've always done it. Does it really suck? It might not be great, but it's the best that we've got. And on. We cling to those, I know I'm going to get in trouble when I say this word, traditional methods. And I've explained that time and time again. You know, if you've been listening, how I feel about traditional stuff. I don't think it's the devil. I don't think it's bad. I don't think all of it's ugly. I think it's what we're talking about, whether we call it hop or traditional this or traditional that or new view that. We're all just trying to figure out what works best for us. And guess what? It's probably a hodgepodge mixture of all of those things pulled together in the right ratios that work for our organizations in our particular context. And that's just how it goes, with some basic understanding of those hot principles, the lens. Yeah, where we're going, yep. You know what? If it's a tool for blame, shame, and retrain, it's probably not good. It's probably leading to us knowing less. And on. So I'm not going to rant down that path. I'm just not. And now I've gone and thrown myself all off track by restraining myself from going down the ranty tunnel here. So let me see. We talked about the pain of change, fear of unknown. I mean, that's a big one. Comfort with what's familiar to us, even if it's ineffective. We know it, and we know that it's ineffective. And we'd rather stick with the ineffective thing that we know than the unknown thing that may or may not be effective. And then there's also this other one. I don't think we've got to this yet. This idea of extra work. Well, I don't want to be too harsh when I say this. But let me try this one on for size. Ready? Duh. Yeah, of course there's going to be a bit of extra work at first. I've done this. You've done this. We're doing this. We're figuring this thing out. We've started on boots on the ground as a lot of us safety folks in organizations, and hop was an extra thing for us, at least in the beginning. If you've done this internal, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You took this up not because you were worried about extra work, but because you were worried with driving positive change in your organization. A bit of extra work be damned. Yeah. And I think back, I reflect on that just right now in the moment, real time. Of thinking back to that, of going, I'd been banging my head against the wall on so much stuff that was just ineffective. And I was oh, I know that it's not working. I'm spending time with the folks out there. They're like, it's not working. Help us, please. I'm like, I'm trying to help you. Corporate. And then I would talk to corporate. They'd be like, don't blame everything on us. It's the, and it's that ball of mess of staying the same. The it's not us, it's them. And we have to do it because of them. And then you go talk to them and like, no, it's not me. It's over here. And you know that. But I was so frustrated. Oh, and then finally, after several years of having these conversations of just, please, we got to work on this. We got to work on this. We got to work. Finally, we caught a bit of traction. I caught a bit of traction. And it was okay, go. Now, I'm going to give you some guardrails. But here, go and start working on this stuff. It's going to be extra work for you. You still have to take care of your normal stuff. But when it got to that point, I was like, heck yeah, gladly, got it. Check, 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 check. I got it. I can manage. I got it. So yes, duh, of course there's going to be a bit of extra work. If you're bringing these ideas into your organization, that extra work might fall on you for a bit. Yeah, that sounds a bit scary, and it can be, but it's worth it. It is. It's worth it. Somebody's got to do the work. There is some work here, and somebody's got to do the work. Personally, I always just I always just thought of this as like, well, might as well be me. I don't know. I was always kind of raised in that kind of mindset of, well, somebody's got to do it. Why not me? Yeah. And I think that's okay. Now, it can't stay like that forever. And it usually doesn't, because back to maybe something we mentioned right at the beginning, it's not just a safety thing. It shouldn't just live in your safety department. That's not good over time. Your safety folks are a great resource. They truly are. Safety friends, you know that you are. You're good at this kind of stuff. But you can't just do it forever. You can't be the safety person and then now like this hot person that's like, it can't last like that over time. But the more that we start to understand these things and we start to have these conversations, other people in the organization quickly start to get just as passionate about it as you are. Yeah, and that helps. That helps a whole bunch, because now you've got this bit of an army of hop champions, and you should be putting thought into that. I would encourage you to put some thought into that before you really kick things off. Don't just drop this on the lap of one person or into your safety group. Pull a good group of folks together. They kind of get it. You know, those folks that are already leading or thinking in this way, and they might not know that it's hop. And if they don't know that it's hop or this or that, good. That makes it that much better. Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I went into whisper mode, but it just felt like it would work. And maybe we'll dive in again real quick. You ready? Let's bring it back down into whisper mode. Care for those folks that are doing this work of hop, or whatever you're wanting to call it, because they're passionate about it and it can be draining. They need time. They need time for work. They need time for not work too. Yeah, I learned this from experience. Trust me, you can get burned out just as easy on this stuff as you can anything else. Super duper promise. Okay, we're back. We're back out of whisper mode. Yeah, so I guess all of that's to say that don't let that extra work scare you. I would encourage you to have a bit of a plan there, though. What's this look like in the long term? I think back to an old saying that my dad used to say all the time. He would always say, I can stand on my head and gargle peanut butter if it's worth it. You know, like I think he was applying it to what they were paying him to go do a job somewhere. He traveled around doing trade work, you know, and it was more along the lines of like, for that kind of money, I would stand on my head and gargle peanut butter for 2 months. I don't care what. But I think of it in this sense too. Like for a month or two or even this year, like I can stand on my head and gargle peanut butter. If it means that we get moving in the right direction, we can figure it out as we go, with the understanding I can't do this by myself, and all the other stuff that we talked about. I think the other piece of this is fear of change, at least that I see a lot, especially with, I can't say just the front line, and I can't even just say just front line leaders, but maybe let me say, I don't know, I don't want to put a line on it. But as we move throughout an organization, as I spend time in organizations, because this line changes quite a bit, I'm just going to call it from the C-suite down. Let's maybe put a bit of a soft line there. There's this lack of trust that they mean it. Yeah. And you can hear it. It sounds like, have you talked to so-and-so about this? did you get so-and-so's permission to tell me that? Because this is way different than, you know what I mean. There's this lack of trust, this lack of commitment, a perceived lack of commitment that, yeah, or whatever. And the only way that you overcome that is by proving it to people that you mean it. Yeah, so there's some of those pain of change kind of things. And then there's a bunch more. I mean, I'm just rattling stuff off here. But I think that we start to understand that that pain of change isn't really all that scary. And really, it's nothing. If you think about it, it's nothing. It's nothing in comparison to where we started this conversation of we're just going to keep doing what we do and keep doing it forever and always. And whoops, we killed somebody. Now we need to change? Really? I think I would rather take up the extra work. I think I would rather jump into the unknown and at least know that I have a chance. I think I would be willing to give up comfort and even some fear just to jump right on in. Yeah. So to begin to move us towards a bit of an ending here, hold on, cold brew. I haven't drank enough cold brew during this episode. Gosh. I'm sure you totally miss this rattly ice slurping in your ear holes or coming through your car speakers. I don't know. I think it adds a certain ambiance to the episode, yeah. But to move us towards a bit of a sensical ending to kind of pull some of all of this, I think, together, let's talk about the things that we do know. Yeah, and I think that's important because this fear of change and this desire to stay the same, it's complicated with this argument of, well, this is better and that's better and you don't understand, we've got to just get back to the basics and on. You know the dialogue that happens, and it's cyclical. It happens just in a circle constantly, hopefully spiraling a bit outwards towards something better over time. But you know this dialogue. It's like fashion trends. It's like, oh, okay, now we're talking about the basics. So I know the next season is we're going to start talking about observations. And then the next season we're going to get back to saying, oh, we don't need the basics. You know what I mean. But to get back to some things that we do know, to be generally good in our organizations, dialogue. Yeah, conversations, the ability to speak truth up and throughout our organizations. It is required. It has always been required. Even if we haven't valued it, it has been required. It would be to the point of what I would call being mission critical. Our ability to have conversations, to discuss the good, the bad, the ugly, the weird, the strange, all of those things. Yeah, it's absolutely required. If the stuff that you're doing, if your approach, if the way that you're kind of trying to, your tactics around these things, if it's making you have less conversations in your organization, I can pretty much guarantee you, if it's creating silence, silence should scare the shit out of us. If it's creating silence, I can almost guarantee you that that pain of change, it's nothing compared to the pain of staying where you're at. Yeah, of course it's not, because silence. Man, we know that silence never leads to anything good. And when we find a whole bunch of silence, it's usually that we're on the road to something pretty tragic happening as well. Another thing that we know is that we need to be genuinely operationally curious. Yeah, if our approaches are leading to us doing more stuff to people than trying to do stuff with people, if we're locking our safety folks in rooms and saying, build us programs with little to no input from the folks that we want to use them, and then just tell them to use them, and if they don't use them, beat them harder until they do, pain of change is nothing for you. Promise, where you're at, it's not going anywhere good. Yeah. If we're not constantly seeking to understand that lived operational reality, and if that lived operational reality isn't directly influencing our approach and constantly influencing our approach, if we are just pouring down go-dos from high in the corporate tower because we know what's best for them, change. Change is your best friend. It's absolutely your best friend at this point. And I can go on and on and on and on. I'm not going to for the sake of time. We're already pushing 35 minutes or so. And I've been trying to shorten these things down. I always tell you that because I know you're busy and I don't want to just sit here and ramble to you for an hour. But I just like talking to you. What can I say? I can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But you get the point. Think through those situations and think through those things that we know to be good, to be meaningful in our work worlds. Those things that help us truly, truly make work suck less. Those things that truly, 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 truly help us. And if our approaches aren't really working in support of those things that we know to be meaningful, to be extremely valuable in our efforts here in our work worlds, then that pain of change, I'm telling you, you might not realize it, but where you're at, it's super painful and it's only going to get more painful and sometimes tragically so. So I guess a bit of this is encouragement and motivation to not fear change all that much. Of course, plan and choose and decide and understand and on and on and on and on and on before you just jump down that tunnel and say, we're just good. And don't just rip out everything that you've ever done. That's not good either. Understand where you're currently at. Understand what needs to go away. Understand what needs to stay. Understand what needs to maybe some of it go away and what needs to stay but needs to be made way better because it could be valuable, but the way that we do. Understand all that stuff. I hope beforehand. Don't just grenade and burn down and yeah, that's not good either. But start moving down that path of change. Don't let it scare you because nothing is worse than where we started this conversation. A lot of you know that from experience, just as I do, of being in that seat when that phone rings or being at home. I'm thinking back to the last time I dealt with something like this, being at home and turning on the news and seeing it on the news. And then the phone, yeah, and then about a month worth of sleepless nights after that. It's not good. Yeah, it's not good. You think back through that, and we're each just individuals. We can't just go out there and demand change. Again, I'm trying not to rant here. We can't just go move that rock by ourselves. It doesn't work like that. I know. I'm not saying that it does. All I'm saying is that that's just a bad place to be. Haven't lived it, and many of you have lived it too, where things go real wrong, and sometimes tragically wrong. And we're left as an organization saying, man, I wish we would have done things a bit different before this happened. Well, the good news there, not to get all kind of sad and dumpy on you, but the good news is that you can. Yeah, you can. You can start right now. You really can't. We don't have to wait. Is it a guarantee that tragedy won't strike somewhere along the way? Is it a guarantee that no, nothing is. Hop's not a guarantee that tragedy is not going to touch your workplace. Traditional safety is not a guarantee that tragedy is not going to touch your workplace. The world is freaking weird, y'all. I think we all are adult enough to know that. Yeah. Things get wild and weird and strange. And of course they do. But we do know that sitting in that chair going, man, I wish we would have done this differently before this. Yeah, it's not a great place to be. So there you go. I don't want to end on a too dumpy of a note there. That's why I kind of want to tell you that it's in a bit of an encouragement. Yeah, it's an encouragement that you can start to do things differently, and you can start doing that today. You can start doing that right now. Our organizations can start working towards doing things a bit differently while not throwing away everything that we know to be valuable. Some of it probably needs to be burnt to the ground. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course you're going to find those things. You'll learn about those things along the way from the folks that actually have to use those things. But we can change. And And to end on a really, really positive note here, because I did go a little bit tragic and sad at the end, I think. Not that things always have to end happy. I don't buy into that crap. But you know what? You can change. Even if it seems like staying the same would be way easier. You still can change without that pain of tragedy. You can change before any of that stuff happens. You truly can. Well, there you go. If you need a hand on your hop journey, let me know. thehopnerd@gmail.com. My year is getting weird. Yeah, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. And I would love to come spend some time with you at your event, at your conference, at your keynote, teaching workshops in your organization. Heck, just coming out and hanging out with you and facilitating some learning teams and everything in between. If you want to learn more about the stuff that I do, you can visit thehopnerd.com. It's super easy to get some time on my calendar. We can just chat about it and see how I might be able to best help you. Again, thehopnerd.com. And if you just want to shoot me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Last but not least, I will end right where I started. Thanks for being here. I genuinely appreciate the fact that you take time out of your day to spend time with me. It's awesome. And as always, I would love to hear from you. Again, thehopnerd@gmail.com. If you've got any questions or ideas for episodes or things that you would like to hear me ramble on about, just drop me a line. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. We're almost 400 episodes in. I'm always looking for questions, always looking for new stuff to talk about, and would love to hear from you. So until next time, it is Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Oh, that sounded dumb. It is the Hop Nerd. That sounded even worse. How about this? It's Sam, y'all. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.